out over 4% of its total workforce. Scott Kirby commented that, quote, the Omicron surge has put a strain on our operation, resulting in customer disruptions during a busy holiday season. No vaccinated employees are currently hospitalized. Before the vaccination requirement for the airline, more than one employee from the airline died each week from coronavirus. This comes as many retail stores around the country are also encountering shortages as workforces decline with the Omicron variant, causing empty shelves, shortened store hours, and long checkout lines. It's another cold day in D.C. at 27 degrees and mostly sunny. In New York, it's even colder at 19 degrees and sunny as well. For WPFW in Washington and WBAI in New York, I'm Amara Evering.
And the previous program was Radio Gag, Gays Against Guns. And that's heard on Tuesdays at 2:30 p.m. here on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org online. It's 1 minute past 3 p.m. Stay tuned for Black Star News coming up.
Greetings, greetings, sisters and brothers. Welcome to Black Star News Show on WBAI 99.5 FM radio, also streaming on WBAI.org. I am your host, Milton Alimadi. Today, we have a very sad and somber discussion. We'll be focusing on the tragic, tragic fire in the Bronx on Sunday, in the 19-story apartment building that's claimed the lives of 17 people, including 8 children, most of them African immigrants, most of them from Gambia. Here to help us discuss this tragedy, people from the African community. We have joining us is Mamadou Niang. He's the managing director and founder of Next Media Communications, a New York-based multimedia platform and production company. He is Senegalese born. Also joining us is Mohamed Marda. He is Ghanaian born, chairman, African Advising Council to the Bronx Borough President, Vanessa Gibson. He's also the executive director of Africans Help Desk, a Bronx-based nonprofit organization. And we're also hoping that we can get another individual who's actually from the Senegalese, from the Gambian community. He is Mamadou Sawane, the founder of Gambian Youth Organization. And they've been very active in providing relief. They even launched a GoFundMe campaign that, as of this morning, had raised more than $800,000. And New Yorkers generally have once again risen to the occasion, rallied around to support the victims of this tragedy. The mayor was on the site, Mayor Eric Adams, and he's made some very powerful, reassuring comments to the community. The governor also issued a statement of support and said the state would also mobilize funds to support the community. We also had planned to bring on a guest from Uganda, Aaron Kiza. He is the lawyer of a Uganda novelist who is also a Black Star News columnist named Kakwenza Rukarabashaija, who's been wrongfully arrested and tortured by the regime of General Yoweri Museveni. And for a minute, I slipped and called him Idi Amin, because that's exactly how he's been behaving the last couple of years.
And what is
arrested and tortured over a book he wrote called The Greedy Barbarians. Fiction book about a fictitious African country run by a brutal dictator. So we wanted to bring him on, but we will now be bringing him on next week so we can focus today on this tragedy in the Bronx. So why don't we start with you, Mamadou Niang. First of all, welcome to the show. Mamadou Niang, could you unmute, please?
Is that good?
Yes, welcome to Black Star.
I am very sorry. Thank you so much. Thank you for having me, my brother. Thank you. Yes, it's a sad day. It is very difficult. You know, I mean, I guess like all of you, sisters, friends, and brothers, we've dreaded this moment. And when we've read and heard, when the news began to trickle on Sunday morning, of course, those alerts on our smartphones about a devastating fire, I'm sure we are all holding our breath, praying with the anticipation that Africans are surely involved. This is just another disaster. Unfortunately, it happened too often. It reveals the vulnerability of our communities. And it also, I think, is an indication of maybe the betrayal of some structures deeply ingrained of inequality, of carelessness, of this place that we have chosen to come to live, in a way. Now, this is not to incriminate any institution or any enterprise, but this is just sadly so true. But if you could just go for a minute beyond to a larger perspective, put this in context. I've been hearing that this is the fifth fire of incredible magnitude in the Bronx, but also the four of those five fires involve Africans. You can remember the Magasa family in Highbridge, where 9 children died and their mother, 10. That was in 2007. You also remember in 2009, September, the Islamic Cultural Center right next door, actually, in Mauritania. That didn't claim life, but still, it was an incredibly powerful and important edifice, a cultural center in the Bronx. I think it was the first one, which was actually nurturing 4 or 5 other Islamic branches in the community. And three, you had, I think this was in 2000, 17, the Bronx apartment building in Belmont. 13 people died, 14 injured. That involved the Ghanaians, but also Trinidadians and Jamaicans. And you have the Twin Park Northwest Towers Sunday in Tremont. So that's a lot. That's a lot of grievance. That's very difficult for our community. So
Mamadou, before I bring on our other guest, I would like to ask you, are you seeing a pattern in these fires?
No, I'm not accusing anyone. I am just saying that maybe the infrastructures that are designed for people to live are not really up to par.
Okay, so we'll come back to that point once again. So let's move now to Mohamed Marda. Welcome to Black Star News Show.
Thank you very much, Milton. And let me just say it's an honor to be on your show with my big brother, whom I call a grand patron, Mr. Yang. Thank you so much. And yeah, I mean, I think Mamadou just really painted a very clear picture of, you know, the tragedy that has happened in our communities. There's one that he missed, which is the young woman who, you know, left her kids in the apartment with a candle and went to do laundry downstairs. And, you know, by the time she came back, the apartment caught fire and the kids unfortunately did not make it. And that was also a very sad situation that happened. Indeed. I think, you know, more than just the institutional issues, I think there's also the issue of education, you know, of fire safety in our communities. And you know, that is something that fortunately or unfortunately, last night we actually had a meeting with the Bronx Borough President, Vanessa Gibson. And one of the things that she mentioned is that, you know, they as electeds have realized this pattern of fire safety issues within the Bronx County. And they will be coming up with a task force, the Bronx Borough President, Congressman Richie Torres, as well as some of the other council members, are going to form a task force that will look at this issue critically and hopefully address some of these issues. You know, with the Magasa fire, I think most of you would remember when the fire started, instead of the family, you know, the mother calling 911, they were calling the husband who was not at home. So we need to educate, you know, our community when it comes to some of these issues. And yeah, the institutions have a role to play. But we also need to be cognizant of some of these, issues that causes, you know, damage. We're not blaming victims. We're not saying that, but in the moment of panic, you're not even thinking straight. So that is something that, we can also get into, but certainly it's a very, very sad situation. But I just would like to say the outpouring of support and has been tremendous and overwhelming. I mean, from city agencies, state agencies, community-based organizations, elected officials, everyone, you name it, has been out there trying to find ways to help, you know, in this situation. And from Sunday, I've been getting all kinds of phone calls from not only elected officials, but also community organizations, individuals, everyone asking, how can we help? And so this is really comforting to know that, you know, New York is rising to the occasion again, unfortunately, under some very tragic circumstances, which we really would not want to see again. And thank you so much, Milton, for the opportunity to speak to some of these issues.
Oh, not at all. This is a tragedy that we should all see what we can do about. Now, in terms of the education that is necessary, obviously that education is needed for all New Yorkers generally, because if we look at the total fires, most of them do not actually involve African families. So that's an education process that is needed for all New Yorkers. I do agree that we also need to focus on our communities as well, because that's the reason why we have shows such as Black Star News Show. But we also need to push back a little against false and ignorant narratives before they take root. I was very disappointed when I saw an extremely ignorant reporter for Channel 7 News, Eyewitness News, reporting from the scene and saying many of these Africans come here looking for a better life, and some of them don't know anything about space heater.
Wow.
And I was just shaking my head and saying, this is so outrageous. And we don't want this type of ignorant, backward narrative to take root and to spread. It just shows you the lack of ignorance that even so-called educated people know about Africa. And somebody may say, why am I making a big deal about this? It is a big deal, because then you start blaming victims, and that is the last thing that we want to happen. So I want both of you to briefly address this as well. But before you do answer my question, I want to also invite on Colin Benjamin, my colleague and the managing editor of Black Star News. Colin, welcome to Black Star News Show. If you have perhaps a brief observation, and then you can also ask our guest some questions, both Mamadou and Mohamed Bada.
Yes, good afternoon. I would like to as well, send our condolences, first of all, to all the family. And where I would probably be going is where you just started to go, because, you know, I'm reading about some of the citations that this particular building had. I'm reading about a lot of the complaints in terms of safety issues with the faulty doors and those type of things. So that's pretty much, you know, what I would, you know, the answers that I think a lot of us need are about those things, right? Why is it that I read that they had four of the battery-powered smoke detectors that wasn't working? You know, those are the type of questions that I think, you know, we should drill down on.
All right. So do you have specific questions for our guests then, Mamadou Niang and Mohamed Marda? And before you do that, listeners, if you're just tuning in, you're listening to Black Star News Show on WBAI 99.5 FM radio. And I am your host, Milton Alimadi. And of course, today we're discussing the tragic fire that took the lives of 17 people Sunday in the Bronx, 8 of them children, 11 of the victims from Gambia, and 6 of the children who died are from Gambia as well. And joining me is Mamadou Niang, who is the managing director of Next Media Communications. And also joining us today is Mohamed Marda, who is on the advisory council to the Bronx Borough President. Go ahead, Colin Benjamin.
Well, I guess, you know, a first question for our guests would be, you know, what information do they have regarding some of the complaints from the residents regarding some of these safety issues? Yeah. You know, like complaints about not being, you know, it not being enough heat in the building, which is what would lead to people, you know, having to. I heard this particular gentleman had something like 4 heaters, space heaters. So, I mean, could they, you know, give us a little bit more information about what they know about that?
Why don't we come back to you then, Mamadou?
Well, you know, there was a survey, the New York Housing Authority, actually, that found that low-income neighborhoods in the Bronx, Brooklyn, and northern Manhattan that are historically home to communities of color have a higher percentage of residences that rely on supplemental heating sources. So this is documented. Mm-hmm. Now, you can find that, of course, the structural reason has to follow that the sprinkler system, the boiler system, and all that apparatus that makes building decent enough and conducive for habitation is lackadaisical. Mm-hmm. So this is being discussed at the moment. And if you look at the stream of news, that's actually, I think they're zooming in, you know, every single hour in terms of what did go wrong. Now, it is true that you have a space heater, just like Muhammad was saying, in terms of education. Plugging a space heater for days on, I mean, it's really not safe. It's beyond the realm of safety. But it has to be said that the faulty nature of this building is glaring. So I am not a technician in this area, but of course we know that there is something that is innately deficient in all of these buildings that are, you know, if it's not like the other land, I mean, that club, I forgot the name, which was like actually a killing. That's a different thing. In all of these five fires in the Bronx, only that one was instigated by a human being who came to kill. All of these were fires. And structurally, of course, there was a problem, human problem. But we have to really look into the mechanics of how these buildings, that sometimes you don't even know who owns them, and the owner don't even know where the building is, you know. These are traded in Wall Street.
So, Mamadou, are you suggesting as well that we would not expect to see such a fire on Midtown, Fifth Avenue, Park Avenue?
Well, I don't have a crystal ball to look into that, but, you know, we've had for the past 30 years, all of these fires are happening in the Bronx.
Okay.
This is Belmont, Morrisania, Highbridge, yeah. Tremont. This is not even Harlem, you know. Yeah. So there is something innately deficient in how these buildings are maintained.
Yes.
And I think that the city and the state are looking into that. Yes.
Yes. We have to speak truth to power and talk about these issues. These issues cannot ignore or pretend that we don't want to talk about it. And hopefully, under this new mayor, we will get a different kind of conversation now going forward. That is what we're hoping to.
Let me just say this. I was there last night. If you look at this building, you look at the windows. I mean, even you look at the hallways, the entrance. Something glaring, it really, you know, smacks you. This is inhabitable. Mm-hmm. Now, of course, this is not the only one. But, of course, you know, it's just the vulnerability of our population that is actually, I think, the number one problem. That is true. But I think that we have to elevate the infrastructure, you know, of this city and of these boroughs, for people to be able to decently live in a place, you know, that is humanely conducive to living souls.
Well, so, maybe this is a signal for what should be priority number one for the new mayor Eric Adams. And he did make some very powerful statements at the scene when he got there. So why don't we have you address the same question posed by Colin Benjamin, Mohammed Marden. And I just wanted to also note that there's been reporting that the self-shutting doors that were supposed to start once the fire started did not function. And that's obviously an issue that we need more answers on too. But go ahead and address the question posed by Colin Benjamin, Mohammed Marden.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, Colin is right. You know, in bringing up some of these issues, because, you know, in speaking to some of the residents in the building, it was obvious that, you know, the building had some, you know, issues, some violations, which were not addressed. So that is definitely something that we're going to be pushing, you know, the elected officials as well as the Department of Buildings to make sure that, you know, wherever, you know, people, there are a few buildings in the Bronx in particular that have a large population of our community members. We can think of a place like Tracy Towers in Mosholu Parkway, which is like four huge buildings. Obviously, that building is maintained a little bit differently, but we need to look at that building to make sure that they meet all of these safety standards that the city has recently enacted. A place like River Park Towers, all these places, these are huge buildings together that have a large population. So we need to look at all of these buildings to make sure that they meet all these codes, because these buildings are just a heartbeat away from such an event happening again. And if we don't look at these issues, I think, you know, unfortunately, few years down the line, we're going to come back and be talking about this again, because these buildings are not providing enough heat. They're not providing enough ventilation. There are all kinds of violations. And if we don't focus on these areas as well as, you know, educating our community members, you know, we could come back here in a couple of years and be talking about this again. So, yeah, this is really a critical issue. But I, unfortunately, Milton, I didn't hear those remarks, you know, that news reporter said. Otherwise, we probably would have pushed back on it. But we're definitely going to push back on it. And I would appreciate it.
Definitely. Thank you for that position. I'll share it after this show is over.
Do a tweet or something and share it with the community members so that, you know, we can push back against that. Because that's really a very ridiculous statement for someone to make.
Oh, very good. I'm glad. I'll share that comment. I think there's actually even a video clip of it on online, and I'll share that with both of our guests today. So, listeners, at this point, obviously, I'd like to remind you that we would not be bringing you this kind of conversation without your support for WBAI. And as I always say when I address these issues, I don't take anything for granted. I highly appreciate the support that you give to WBAI, because that is how we are able to have a show such as Black Star News Show on a radio station in a prime media market, which is New York City. We don't take this for granted. We know without you, we wouldn't be here. We appreciate all the support that allows us to discuss Pan-African issues. We discuss the conflict in Ethiopia and Eritrea. We discuss the conflict in the Congo. We discuss the deplorable support for dictatorship in African countries like Uganda. We discuss the coups that have recently occurred in Chad, in Mali, in the Sudan. And we can do that because we have a show such as Black Star News Show on WBAI. And to continue supporting WBAI and Black Star News Show, you can call 212-209-2950. And your pledges will be put to good use, of course. You can also adopt Black Star News Show as a buddy, which means the money is taken out of your credit or debit card on a monthly basis. And you can do that by going to give the number 2 and then WBAI.org. But listeners, finally, we also have, as you know, an ongoing Tower Fund campaign. And that is the campaign to raise money to pay off our rent for our tower signal, which is in 4 Times Square. The annual bill for that is $204,000. We have raised some significant funds because of your support, but we are still a long way toward meeting our target of paying off the rent for the year 2022. And you can support that campaign by going to towerfund.wbai.org. So listeners, now back to our guest. Colin Benjamin, do you have the next round of questions for our guest?
I want us to go back to the safety thing in a minute, but I guess maybe we should also ask about the update and the status of the other victims.
Yes, thank you. That is actually a very good question. So initially, the total count was 19, and then it was downgraded to 17. Apparently, there had been a double counting, and 8 children died, 60 people seriously wounded, and some may not survive. That is the last set of information that I had. Mm-hmm. But why don't we come back to you again, Mamadou, if you have anything that is different from this update, and that will come to you, Mohammed.
Yeah, there are some numbers that came out about, I think, just about an hour ago from the Gambian embassy and the Gambian consulate here. And the Gambian abroad, an association, that it would appear that at present they're only in the count of those who have been determined to have died, there are 11 Gambians, 5 adults and 60 children.
Okay.
Now, this is new information. Of course, it doesn't include those 15 that are said to be in critical condition. These identities are not being shared, of course, because of the profoundly delicate nature of the situation. Not only they want the relatives to know first, and some relatives also wanted the extended family in Gambia also to be appraised about what's going on. That's why we're not getting that, you know, the information so as quickly as we would like to. And this is even the complaints of some Gambian leaders in the Bronx. So those are the latest number that we have. There are 11 Gambians among the 17 who have been identified to have died so far.
Okay, so we've reached the midpoint of our show. Why don't we take a very brief musical break, and then we will be back for the second half hour. Greetings, sisters and brothers. Welcome to the second half hour of Black Star News Show on WBAI 99.5 FM radio, also streaming on WBAI.org. I am your host, Milton Alimadi. Today, we're discussing the tragic fire Sunday in the Bronx that took the lives of 17 people, including 8 children. And joining me in this conversation today is Mamadou Niang. He is the managing director of Next Media Communications, New York-based. He is Senegalese-born. And also joining us today in this discussion is Mohamed Marda. He is Ghanaian-born, and he's on the African Advisory Council to the Bronx Borough President. And also with us today is Black Star News Managing Editor Colin Benjamin. We're also supposed to have a guest from the Gambian Youth Organization, but they've all been running around all day. His name is Mamadou Sawane, so he was unable to join us in this conversation today. Hopefully we can have him in an update, but they've done something very commendable. They launched a GoFundMe campaign immediately after the tragedy, and as of today, it's raised more than $800,000. So people have really rallied around to support the victims of this tragedy, and that is to be appreciated. And people can go to GoFundMe.org, and you'll see it immediately. I think the title is Relief for Families Affected by Bronx Fire, and that's on GoFundMe. the GoFundMe campaign. Now, why don't we come back to you, Mamadou? Mamadou, I think what I'm hearing from both of you and Mohammed Mada, is this is also an opportunity to extend the conversation wider and to expose some of the challenges in terms of housing and other services that many of us in our communities face. And I'm thinking, as I'm listening to you, I'm saying, perhaps this is an occasion to organize a town hall meeting where we can have all these families come and let us hear directly from some of them, get them on the microphone. And I wouldn't mind getting Black Star News show as a part of this effort. What do you think about this possibility? Let's start with you, Mamadou, and then we'll come to you, Mohammed.
Yes, well, of course, Milton, that is a compelling and generous idea of yours, but this is not surprising to me. This is your core value. This is the line of which you've been thinking, you know, because in the end, if you don't bring the community together, this will keep happening, not only this, but all the other maladies and the vulnerabilities, you know, and the pathologies of our communities. And I think that on a, even a broader realm, not only the families and the communities, there is a leadership in this city. If you can first get the leadership of the separate, disparate, and diverse African organizations, institutions together, and work together, work on charters, on platforms, to realize that we don't have to replicate or copy what other communities are so successfully doing that we love to name, but to really reach deep in our history. All the while realizing it's true that we are 54 different countries. We are so diverse. We came to so many different corners of Africa. But this is the place that we found ourselves together, and we are doing things together. So how can we bring the communities of Africans together to address some very specific issue, not just when disaster befalls upon us? So, of course, I applaud your initiative. And, you know, I mean, I will work with anyone.
Very good. I like that. And you, Mohammed?
Yes. I think it's a really a very laudable idea. One of the things that we try to do at the African Advisory Council, you know, using the borough president's leverage, is really to reach out to all the various leaders in the community, to bring them together to form the council. That was the idea of the council, so that we can relay, you know, the concerns in the community to the powers that be, and in turn take back some of the policies, advise them on policy issues specific to our communities, and then take back, you know, resources and initiative that they have taken to address these issues back into the community. And so, yeah, it's really a laudable idea to try to have, you know, a town hall where we can, you know, address some of these issues, the challenges that we face. And I think Mamadou, you know, mentioned that is the leadership struggles that's ongoing in our community. And yes, you know, every community has that. But at some point, you know, we have to say, you know what, it shouldn't be just about Ghanaians or Gambians or Guineans or Senegalese or Ugandans. It should be about the community. And I think that's where true leadership comes in. So again, I want to reiterate, just like Mamadou said, you know, I'm willing to work with anyone who wants to address issues, you know, pertinent to the community, pertinent to the development of our community, to the safety. I got a call just about an hour before the show started from the office of Congressman Richie Torres. And he's willing, if there are any families affected by this and they have relatives in Gambia that would like to be here for the funeral or whatever it is, you know, they're willing to work with the community to try to bring some of these people here. I think these are some of the initiatives that I'm talking about. For the most part, some of our leaders would kind of, you know, well, why would the congressman not call me and they're calling you instead and you're not directly, you know, impacted with this. And so these are some of the territorial issues that we are facing as African leadership. But I think with platforms like Milton's, we can come together and address some of these issues so that we can all work together for the, you know, for the betterment of our community. So I thank you for this idea. It's a laudable idea. And, you know, I'm willing to work with anyone to make this happen.
Yeah. You know, what you just said in terms of the family that are back home on the continent also just made me think in terms of the impact of this tragedy, because we're talking, obviously, the loss of life. Mm-hmm. We're talking about the ones who sustained serious injuries. And then we are talking of the impact on people that love them back mm-hmm. on the continent. And mm-hmm. at the same time, people who depended on them absolutely. As well for their financial support.
Absolutely.
And that is also an important aspect of this entire tragedy. Our listeners, if you've been listening to us, and you perhaps wanted to also call in with a comment, the number to dial is 212-209-2877 if you wanted to comment about today's ongoing conversation. Colin Benjamin.
Yes,
question
sir.
To our guest.
Has anyone been in contact with the owners of this building? And also, what do we know about the landlords? Do we know anything about them? I mean,
yeah, the landlord actually is a trifecta of a private equity. and there is a very brilliant and audacious woman actually who's communicating with the mayor's office and the press in terms of the infrastructures and all the problems that whatever we know from the fire department and the mayor's office, it comes from the spokeswoman, the spokesperson. Yeah.
You know, because the reason that I ask that is, you know, I don't want to judge too quickly because I read something that was saying these are new owners and some of the citations that they said there were cited, they said was before these new owners. But for me, when I look at some of these things, I'm looking at it from the safety aspect of things that seem like simple to me, like reading that, you know, the smoke detectors weren't working and that it was only four, which seems to be a small amount mm-hmm. for a building like that. I also read...
With 120 units.
Right. I also read where that they were saying that the fire alarm malfunctioned so regularly that people just ignored it. You know, so things like those...
And I imagine that's probably not unique to that building. Just, you know...
Right.
Go ahead. I didn't mean to...
Yeah, no. So for me, like, and, you know, Milton earlier mentioned about the faulty doors, and apparently it was more than just two. Apparently, when some of the fire inspectors inspected, there were several other doors that are supposed to shut that were not shut, you know? So it would seem...
Including the one on the 15th floor hallway, which reportedly sucked up all the smoke and turned the building into a chimney.
So, you know, I think, you know, we need to dig a little deeper into you know, these owners, these landlords. you know, because I don't disagree that we have to teach our people about, you know, fire safety, but a lot of the stories that I've looked at was more pointing towards the fact that, you know, there seemed to be some negligence on the part of the owners.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So I want to make sure we also, I want you to address what Colin Benjamin just said, but Mohammed, I also wanted you to perhaps let listeners know about the candlelight vigil that is supposed to occur later this evening. I understand. Could you please provide that information?
Yes. So the Bronx Borough President, you know, in partnership with the New York City clergy, is doing a candlelight vigil tonight at 6 p.m. In front of the building, which is 333 East 181st Street, the cross street is Valentine Avenue, 333 East 181st Street, right in front of the building. There's going to be a candlelight vigil tonight at 6 p.m. We are asking, you know, if you are coming out for this vigil, please dress warm. As you know, it's one of the coldest days of the year. And we did advise the borough president's office last night to think about if they can postpone it. Unfortunately, some of the sponsoring partners insisted on having the event, even if it's brief. So they're going to try to keep it as short as possible. You know, the borough president was very emphatic, you know, with us last night that, you know, they don't want people to be, you know, they don't want to jeopardize any more lives than they should, right. You know, having people standing out in that cold. So they would be providing maybe some hot chocolate, maybe some leg warmers, some hand warmers, just to make sure that everyone is safe. But if you plan on attending this vigil, please remember to take those extra precautions, layer up. And we don't anticipate being there longer than an hour, hopefully. So that's just, and thank you very much, Milton, for the opportunity to mention that.
Yes, obviously people must be properly bundled up. It is 20 degrees outside. And listeners, if you're just tuning in, you're listening to Black Star News Show on WBAI 99.5 FM radio, also streaming on WBAI.org. And I am your host, Milton Alimadi. I'm joined by Black Star News Managing Editor Colin Benjamin and our guest today, Mamadou Niang, Managing Director of Next Media Communications, and Mohammed Marda, who is on the African Advisory Council to the Bronx Borough President. And you're discussing the tragic, tragic fire Sunday in the Bronx that claimed the lives of 17 people, 8 of them children, 11 of the dead, as Mamadou just updated us, from Gambia, including 5 children. So back to you, Mamadou. I want to also take this opportunity to let New Yorkers who are not familiar with the African immigrant population here in New York to hear another side. Who are they? What do they do in New York? I don't want people to get the false impression that might have been suggested by that reporter for Channel 7. That they come here in such a condition that they don't even know what a space heater is. So I want you to talk about that because you cover this community very extensively on your network. And then I would like you, Mohammed, to address the same question. Mamadou? Could you unmute yourself, please? Could you unmute yourself?
Yes, Mamadou? I am sorry. It was actually by mistake. You put my finger. You know, we are probably the youngest population of immigrants in this country and in this city. If you remember, I think the largest flow of Africans immigrating in New York, principally, that I remember in the early and the mid-80s, and I was go to work and see the Senegalese selling umbrella during the rain on the street. That was like so new to me. And it just, you go to Brooklyn, you would see Nigerians living with Ghanaians and living with Jamaicans. There are very few and far between. And the vast number of those Africans were students, generally, or diplomats. So I'm just saying that we are new to this country still. Now, you can go back, of course, which is completely a different story, 400 years ago. You can even go back 200 years ago in the Caverian in New Hampshire and in the Boston area. But this magma, this collective experience of Africans in New York City is relatively new. So we're building ourselves in this city. And I think a lot of our vulnerabilities have to do with that, that we are learning to adapt. We are learning the tools of a completely different society. So that's one thing. Now, the other thing, of course, if I wanted to echo my brother Marda, it is the dysfunctional nature of our collective leadership. Because among us, I mean, you look at academia, you look at Harvard University, there are more Nigerian students than there are African Americans. Most people don't know that. If you look at the demographics of Africans that are often touted as being the most educated fringe of immigrants in this country, there is some truth to that. But I think that the pathologies and the pettiness of our elite and our leaders that you will not see even in the Bronx during the next months that will be mourning has to be addressed. So how can we really bridge ourselves to try to see how not to replicate the Balkanization of our continent and try to unify in this country and erect a model, believe me, of a new African kingdom. So I think those are the most imminent priorities. That's what you inviting us about. That's what Marda is saying. If we can really mend that wound, which is like, how can we interconnect, build a very decent leadership? We can address so many things. Let me just tell you one story that most people probably don't know. And this is an incredible.
It will have to be in 30 seconds because you're running out of time.
Well, this is an incredible opportunity for us because there is something about Eric Adams which is innately African. Two months ago, he convened a Zoom meeting, and I do not know how come it rallied only like 22 Ghanaian and Nigerian doctors, medical professionals. And you know what he told them? That's not what I wanted to see when I'm speaking about Africa. I want to see Africans that I know in New York City. I don't know if you know this story or not. So this is an incredible opportunity for us, actually, because the leadership of this city and even in New York State probably can be a companion to these battles that we need to wage in this city to come together.
All right. So, Mamadou, you also said something that is very interesting that is actually, I'm going to make it a topic of a future show. When you said there are more Nigerian students at Harvard than African Americans.
That's true.
That is a topic that I want us to explore in a future show, because that is an indictment of the internal system in this country and the discrimination against people of African ancestry here in the United States. I'm going to make that. Mohamed Marda, you only have 1 minute, unfortunately. Closing remarks, and then I want you to tell listeners how they can get in touch with you, and then I'll come back to Mamadou to also tell listeners how they can get in touch with them. One minute.
Yeah, thank you very much, Milton. And thank you, listeners, for the opportunity. Again, my name is Mohammed Marda. I'm the chairman of the African Advisory Council to the Bronx Borough President, Honorable Vanessa Gibson. And folks can reach me, by email, mohammedmarda07@gmail.com.
Or and spell it out, because Mohammed is spelled differently for some people.
Oh, okay. So it's MOHAMMEDMARDAH, the number 07@gmail.com, or MMARDAH at AfricansHelpDesk.com. I can be reached over there. You can check out our website, Africans Help Desk, where we put out a lot of information and resources to the community. And we want to extend our appreciation to all New Yorkers for the support and Office of Condolences that has been pouring out, to our community. And
okay, Mamadou, how can people get in touch with you?
Yeah, well, very quickly, you can start just with my website, nextmedia-tv.com. Everything is there. And my Twitter handle is at mniang. M as in mother, N as in nature, I-A-N-G as in God.
Colin Benjamin?
Colin_1L_B30@Yahoo.
And I am at Ali Mahdi. And you can also go to at NY Black Star News. That is the Twitter handle for Black Star News. That's all the time we have. Our heart goes out to the victims of this tremendous tragedy. If you're in a position, please go to the GoFundMe campaign. And it's under relief for families affected by Bronx fire. And people have been really supporting this campaign. Remain Pan-African and see you next week.
WPFW in Washington and WBAI in New York, I'm Amara Evering with some brief news headlines. The Department of Justice announced today that it is forming a new domestic terrorism unit that would combat, quote, persistent and evolving threats to national security, with the number of FBI investigations into domestic terrorism doubling since March of 2020. The DOJ says the new unit would enable the department to address extremism. The unit will consist of a group of attorneys dedicated to prosecuting domestic terrorism cases. Matthew G. Olson, the head of the Justice Department's National Security Division, testified, quote, domestic violent extremists are often motivated by a mix of ideologies and personal grievances. We have seen a growing threat from those who are motivated by racial animus, as well as those who ascribe to extremist, anti-government, and anti-authority ideologies. The deadly Bronx apartment fire that resulted in the death of 17 people, including 8 children, have been linked to faulty safety doors that were repeatedly flagged by inspectors for failing to close properly years before the incident. The Twin Parks Northwest complex was issued at least 2 violation notices between 2017 and 2019, and 6 violations between 2013 and 2019. The fire was, according to New York City Fire Commissioner, initially sparked by portable heaters, which are often used when central heating is not available. The residents of the building were predominantly Black and Latino, and the victims of the fire have been mostly immigrants from the West African nation, Gambia. Gambia's ambassador said that news of the fire has sent shockwaves through their nation, and that at this particular apartment, quote, a lot of Gambians who came here, they stayed there before they moved anywhere else. This was kind of a first port of call. This building, it's a building Gambians have a lot of attachment to. This fire aligns with national trends where Black people in the U.S.